Well, know something very interesting. He was in the beginning, and will be in the end. He was in the beginning, he will be in the end. The last words said by Jesus Christ, you know where they are? Chapter 22, verse 20. And he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. He was there at the end. But he was also at the beginning. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. And we say, God created the heavens and the earth. Who literally created the heavens and the earth? Whose ministry was it? Well, let me just read to you. And if you want to look, Colossians 1 and verse 16. Let's see what Paul says. Who is, verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Jesus Christ was the creator. God the Father, the designer, Jesus Christ, the carpenter, he's the one that spoke the worlds into existence. He is the Alpha and the Omega. You know what this literally does? This literally brings together creation and prophecy. Those two must walk in lockstep. You cannot take one without accepting totally the other. They are like two tracks taking a train into eternity future. Creation and prophecy. Let me illustrate. Go to the book of Jeremiah just for a moment. The book of Jeremiah, I don't know if you've ever studied Jeremiah. Excellent book, 52 chapters. And Jeremiah was selected as the prophet to the nations. Starting in chapter 46 to chapter 51, he mentions every major player in the end times, and he talks about what their destiny is going to be. It's an interesting study. Prior to chapter 46, he's dealing with the Jewish people. And he talks about the judgment that they're going to face. He concludes everything, and in fact, probably the stenographer who wrote down what Jeremiah had to say was the one who recorded chapter 52, and it is a record of all the prophecies that Jeremiah gave coming to pass. So it's an interesting book. But let me just trace quickly through Jeremiah just for a second to show you the connection between creation and prophecy, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Look here in verse 5 of chapter 1 of the book of Jeremiah. Very interesting statement we're going to read here in the context of the day, or I guess it's this week, when there is the commemoration of the Roe versus Wade decision in the United States Supreme Court 30 years ago. Look what he says, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of thy womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now there's the ultimate answer to abortion. All political questions are answered by the Word of God. I don't have to debate. I don't even have to try to be politically correct. All I have to do is be biblically correct. We have a debate going on. When does life begin? Somebody says it begins at birth. Another says it begins at conception. I say, no, sir, both wrong. It begins in the mind of God in eternity past. He said, before I created you, before I put you in your mother's womb, I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. So was abortion a possibility? Jeremiah had been aborted? It's in the face of God. I don't have a... By the way, though, and I just chased a rabbit for a moment. What happened? God brought man into existence. He placed Jeremiah in the womb of his mother for his purposes, part of the creative act. And it wasn't an evolutionary process that brought him into existence. I formed him. Psalm 139, I know all of thy members. I know you. Before I formed you, I knew you. And so he did the creation of that. Go to chapter 5 just a second. I'm not teaching Jeremiah. I just want to show you some of the connections between prophecy and creation. They are in lockstep. Chapter 5, verse 22. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual degree, that it cannot pass it? Though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. Have you ever stood on the edge of either the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean or maybe the Gulf of Mexico and just been amazed? We were this last summer in a conference at out in near Cannon Beach, Oregon, and they allowed us to stay right on the beach, a beautiful condominium with a great big plate glass window looking out onto the... Oh, it was beautiful. Those sunsets were so miraculous. I couldn't believe it. And to walk, but I would stand there early in the morning before anybody came out to the beach and realize God placed a boundary there. That unbelievable Pacific Ocean could not come beyond that. Oh, maybe temporarily for a little bit, but it could not come beyond that point. God has set the bounds. Who am I? Who am I to want to deal with a God who can set the bounds of the oceans? Look at verse 24. Neither say there in their hearts, let us not fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. You know, we used to be an agrarian society until we started building these magnificent cities, which I believe is anti-biblical, by the way. And I really do. I'm not trying to be funny. I believe that's anti-biblical. One of the major sins before the flood was the building of a city by a man who had murdered his brother. And that has continued on. What did Nimrod do when he went in the face of God? God said, fill the earth. And he said, I'll make us a city. So I do think it's wrong. But think about our agrarian society. That's what we used to be. What, 50, 60 years ago, we were about 85% agrarian society in this world, in America, and 15% city life. Now that's reversed. It's 85. And how has crime advanced? Only because we built the cities. These are gigantic metro complexes, metroplexes. But anyway, think about the harvest. Think about the harvest that God brings in. I love to go to Harry's home up in Scroon Lake. I love to go to this one as well. But Harry's, he is so proud. When we come in, he can't hardly get over himself and all the beautiful flowers he has planted around that place up there. Right on the, I know I covet every time I come there, Harry, so please forgive me. But it is so beautiful. And to think that is this connection. God provides the rain. Maybe sometimes it seems like a little too much, you know. What have they had up in Screw Lake in snow this year? The hundreds of feet, not hundreds of feet, but lots of snow. But God provides it all. And he's talking about that. Can you even not be paying attention to this God? Go to chapter 10 and verse 12 just for a second. Chapter 10 and verse, well, we'll start in verse 10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Now slip to verse 12. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. Oh man, we were driving down on Saturday night, got in about midnight, since I had to do my radio broadcast up at Chattanooga before we came down. And it was a clear sky, and that moon was full. And I don't know if you saw Saturday night. It was beautiful. And the heavens, and he stretched out. I love the phrase. In the fourth day of creation, he created the sun and the moon. And it's like he started to walk away. And the stars also. It's like an answer. Oh, the stars also. I forgot. I almost slipped by. And he stretched them out. Unbelievable. That's why he's so powerful. The connection between prophecy. Go to chapter 27 just a second. Chapter 27. At the time that Jeremiah is writing, they're talking about the coming of the Babylonian Empire. That's his prophecy. That's what he's dealing with. Look at verse 5 of chapter 27. Verse 6 says, "Now I have given all these lands unto the hand of Nebuchadnezzar." That was what Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2. God has given you all of this. Thou art that king. Thou art that head of gold, he says. But look at verse 5. "I have made the earth, the man, and the beast that are upon the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me." You want to know why they don't like to deal with Jesus Christ? Because he is the creator, and the creator puts in power who he wants in power, and he takes out of power who he wants to be taken out of power. If you don't believe that, if you could go back down the corridors of time in history past and ask Nebuchadnezzar, he could tell you, "I took out of power this one, Nebuchadnezzar, who thought he was greater than all."